Welcome to The Onion on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheeland. It'll be my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the next half hour. The Onion is a parody of news and commentary and contains material that some people will find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. Today's top story, Taylor Swift reportedly begins day by playing video reminding Travis Kelce who she is, how long they've dated. Dateline Leawood, Kansas. Urging her boyfriend to calm down after he woke up and immediately began to panic, Taylor Swift reportedly began her day Friday by playing a video reminding Travis Kelce who she is and how long they've dated. Hi, baby. I know you don't know who I am right now, but my name is Taylor, and I love you very much, said Swift, who, for the 200th time since the two started dating, played a 30-minute video that explained who the Kansas City Chiefs tight end was, how he woke up in a mansion, and why he was lying in bed with one of the world's most famous singer-songwriters. See, that's you as a baby, and that's you on the Kansas City Chiefs with all your friends like Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And that's me. You thought I was pretty, so you gave me a friendship bracelet with your phone number on it. Now you're dating a 14-time Grammy winner / billionaire. To be honest, I don't know how you pulled it off either. At press time, sources confirmed Swift was gently reminding Travis Kelce that none of her former romantic partners mattered, firstly because she was over them, but secondly because he wouldn't remember any of this in the morning. Next, Bluey praised for tackling difficult subject of walking in on parents during their secluded or scheduled weekly sex. Dateline New York. Earning widespread praise from adult viewers, a new episode of the animated children's TV series Bluey tackled the difficult subject of walking in on your parents during their scheduled weekly sex, sources confirm Monday. We watch Bluey every week as a family, and I tell you, when Bandit sat Bluey down to explain to her that what she saw was just him and Mom doing something the therapist made them promise they'd do every Sunday night at precisely 7:30 p.m., I teared up, said 39-year-old father Sean Frazier, who called the episode in which the 7-year-old Blue Heeler puppy walks into her parents' bedroom and watches them engage in sexual intercourse for a full 4 seconds before they realize she is present, one of the best episodes of children's TV, or any TV, he had seen in his life. There's not a single other children's show on the air like that. Peppa Pig wouldn't dare. My wife and I just felt so seen. Our son did too. Frazier added that for his own parenting, he planned to borrow the episode idea for a game called 600, in which Bluey goes to her room and counts slowly to 600 every Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. Next, everyone on camping trip just gets out of way while friend who knows what he's doing takes care of everything. Dateline Big Bear, California. In an effort to avoid interfering with this process, everyone on a camping trip reportedly just got out of the way Friday while their friend Jacob Lopez, who knows what he's doing, took care of everything. Seems like Jake's got it all under control, said Daryl Stedman, a member of the party who carried a cooler to the picnic table, before stepping aside and letting Lopez take charge of pitching the tent, building the fire, and stowing the food. I feel bad that he's doing everything, but I'd honestly just be slowing him down if I tried to help. He's done this a ton of times, so I'm sure it's no big deal for him. At press time, the rest of the campers decided to do their part by cracking open a few beers while Lopez searched for kindling. Next, Tesla lays off entire team behind brakes. Dateline Austin, Texas. In the latest round of layoffs from the company's struggling automotive division, electric vehicle manufacturer Tesla fired the entire team behind brakes, sources confirmed Wednesday. As we continue to right-size the Tesla workforce, we have come to the decision that stopping the car is no longer a critical function, said CEO Elon Musk, whose announcement came as a shock to the team of 500 Tesla workers responsible for the electric vehicle's braking systems. As the brakes never really worked anyway, we figured the team's existence was redundant. Going forward, none of our models will be outfitted with brakes. Instead, we will shift our efforts to making fart noises louder. At press time, Tesla staffers responsible for wheels were reportedly nervous after receiving an ominous meeting request from HR. Next, advisors assure Biden this will blow over once all Gazans dead, Dateline Washington. As the mounting campus protests and arrests over the Israel-Hamas war threaten his fragile electoral coalition, advisors to President Joe Biden assured him Friday that this would blow over once all Gazans were dead. Just lie low. Let a few thousand more bombs drop on densely populated areas, and you're golden, Mr. President, said senior communications advisor Anita Dunn, promising the depleted Biden that in a matter of months, there would hopefully be no one left to protest for in the besieged Palestinian territory. I know things might seem bleak now, sir, but all you need to do is hold the course, giving Israel billions in military aid, and this will most likely all be a distant memory by November. After that, it's smooth sailing ahead. What are the activists going to be angry about then? A bunch of rubble and mass graves? Dunn went on to stress that, with any luck, there soon wouldn't be any student protesters left alive either. Next, Trump watching movie on iPad during trial without using headphones. Dateline New York. Resting the device on his thighs between the defendant's table, former President Donald Trump reportedly watched a movie on an iPad during his trial Thursday, not bothering to use headphones. As witness Keith Davidson continued his testimony this morning, several reports indicated that people in the courtroom looked around in response to a sound that suddenly began emanating from a personal electronic device, with everyone eventually realizing the source was a high-octane action movie playing on the defendant's iPad. According to court transcripts, Judge Juan Merchan repeatedly attempted to get Trump's attention to ask him to turn off the 1994 Harrison Ford CIA thriller Clear and Present Danger, but the former commander-in-chief's eyes remained locked on the screen, seemingly unbothered by the disturbance he was causing. Courtroom sources confirmed Trump's lawyer Todd Blanche offered his client a pair of Hello Kitty Bluetooth headphones, but the former president declined, presumably not picking up on the hint. At press time, Trump had reportedly turned the volume of gemstones being crushed on a game of Bejeweled even higher in an attempt to drown out the judge's disruptive gavel. Next, orangutan stuns researchers by using Rogaine to fix bald spot. Dateline Aceh, Indonesia. Watching in awe as the wild animal applied the medicinal product to the top of his head, primate researchers were reportedly stunned Friday after witnessing an orangutan use Rogaine to fix a bald spot. This is the first known case of any wild animal using an over-the-counter hair loss treatment product, said evolutionary biologist Sophia Guskin, who was in the process of co-authoring a paper describing how the male Sumatran orangutan, named Rakus, was seen holding the can upside down, spraying the product onto his scalp, and using his fingers to massage the foam into the roots of his thinning red hair. Rogaine contains minoxidil, a medication that many cultures believe can prevent or treat balding. Rakus was seen applying this product to the skin on his head, not just once, but every day for several months, ultimately resulting in visibly thicker, fuller hair. We're still not sure if the bald spot was a result of genetics from his mother's side, father's side, or stress, but nonetheless, we will continue to study this ape carefully. At press time, Rakus was observed popping generic Viagra. Next, it's an Onion commentary. It is journalism's sacred duty to endanger the lives of as many trans people as possible. The task of reporting is not a simple one. Each and every day, reporters and editors at publications like The Onion make difficult decisions about which issues should receive attention, knowing our coverage will influence not only how people think, but also how they act. This responsibility is at the core of an ongoing debate over whether news coverage of transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming people is unduly biased. As the world's leading news publication, with a daily readership of 4.3 trillion, The Onion is compelled to weigh in. We firmly believe that it is journalism's sacred duty to endanger the lives of as many trans people as possible. Quentin, open close quote, is a 14-year-old assigned female at birth who now identifies as male against the wishes of his parents. His transition was supported by one of his unmarried teachers, who was not a virgin. He stole his parents' car and drove to the hospital, where a doctor immediately began performing top surgery on him. Afterward, driving home drunk from the hospital, Quentin became suicidally depressed, and he wonders now, homeless and ridden with gonorrhea, if transitioning was a mistake. We just made Quentin up. That's okay. It doesn't mean stories like his aren't potentially happening everywhere, constantly. Good journalism is about finding those stories, even when they don't exist. It's about asking the tough questions and ignoring the answers you don't like, then offering misleading evidence in service of preordained editorial conclusions. In our case, endangering trans people is the lodestar that shapes our coverage. Frankly, if our work isn't putting trans people further at risk of trauma and violence, we consider it a failure. We stand behind our recent obsessed-seeming torrent of articles and essays on trans people, which we believe faithfully depicts their lived experiences as weird and gross. We remain dedicated to finding the angles that best frame the basic rights of the gender nonconforming as up for debate, and we will use these same angles over and over again in hopes that this repetition makes them suffer. As journalists, it is our obligation to entertain any and all pseudoscience that gives bigotry an intellectual veneer. We must be diligent in laundering our vitriol through the posture of journalistic inquiry, and we must be allowed to fixate on the genitals. It is against free speech to stop us from fixating on the genitals. Much of the recent debate concerns medical procedures, particularly in children, and whether things like hormone replacement therapy or gender-affirming surgeries are safe and appropriate. Indeed, there are critical questions to be asked about the social complexities of gender, as well as medical ethics in a profit-driven healthcare system. We are simply not interested in any of that. Instead, we will use flawed data and spurious logic to repeatedly write the same hand-wringing arguments, asking whether there are suddenly too many trans people around. Journalistic integrity demands nothing less. Naturally, courageous reporting like ours has its detractors. Our critics accuse us of transphobia and are trying to murder us online with their online mobs. They want to destroy our right to free speech and have us arrested by all the police. What gives? Why would you arrest us when it's those deviant trans people you ought to be arresting instead? Do you know what the science says about trans people getting arrested? Huh? What if we could find data saying trans people should be more likely to get arrested? What will our detractors say then? They'll be silent, as well they should be, and free speech will survive one more day. For more evidence of our time-honored journalistic commitment to endangering lives, please see our previous coverage of gay people, immigrants, black people, and women. Institutions with massive platforms like ours must be open to different ways of endangering the trans community. That might mean the framework of medical care as a bogeyman to imply that trans people are engaged in something sinister. That might mean turning isolated instances of detransitioning into sweeping generalizations about children being groomed. That might mean identifying the worst prejudices that transgender people face and encouraging our readers to adopt them. Did you forget yet about how we wrote that there might be data showing that trans people should be more likely to get arrested? What if that were true? Or what if non-binary people are 10 times more likely to traffic infants? What if puberty blockers are a kind of sex crime? What if doctors are climbing through windows to suture penises to sleeping cheerleaders? The next time you see a trans person, you ought to ask yourself these questions. All great journalists, and even those lesser journalists who don't work for The Onion, eventually ponder why we do what we do. Is it the point of reporting to illuminate the world around us so that we may make meaning of it? Or is it to cause people in minority groups to question their humanity and persuade others to demonize them? We know where we stand, proudly dreaming of genitals. Research shows that trans people are over 4 times more likely than CIS gender people to be the victim of a violent crime. We salute our colleagues across the media who are working tirelessly, to make that number even higher. Back to the news. Columbia University gives students option to finish classes from prison. Dateline New York. Emphasizing that it was their only option amid the rampant protests that had erupted on campus, Columbia University announced Monday that it had given students the option to finish classes from prison. Given the current political turmoil and the many safety hazards it poses, all current students will be permitted to complete their semesters from the New York penitentiary system, said Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq, adding that in light of recent events, all members of the community were encouraged to attend lectures virtually from the comfort of their dark, windowless 6x8-foot cell. While we wish we could continue in-person learning, the best way to keep our university safe is to allow students, faculty, and staff to complete the last few weeks of the school from behind bars. Also, should students need, they will be permitted to accept their diplomas virtually, regardless of whether they are back in the back of a police van at Rikers Island or in solitary confinement somewhere off the grid. At press time, Shafiq added that any student who had been beaten to death could, if need be, also complete classes from their morgue. Next, National Park visitors treated to majestic sight of crow eating napkin. Dateline Grand Canyon Village, Arizona. Awestruck as they watched the creature scarf down the grease-stained paper product, visitors at Grand Canyon National Park were reportedly treated to the majestic sight of a crow eating a napkin Tuesday. "Shh, kids, quiet. We don't want to scare him off," said tourist Pierre Boulard, who took his phone out of his pocket ever so carefully as to not disturb the animal feasting on the remnants of a bag of Wendy's strewn across the parking lot. "Wow, nature is truly incredible. It must know that the napkin touched a burger at one point. Now, Edie, go stand over there by your brother so I can take your picture." At press time, Grand Canyon National Park reported that several visitors had been mauled by the crow. Next, Taylor Swift fan convinced artist purposefully released Big Dud as commentary on music industry. Dateline, New Haven, Connecticut. Saying the singer-songwriter clearly had ulterior motives when she made the tortured poets department, local Taylor Swift fan Fiona Johnson told reporters Monday the artist had purposefully released a Big Dud as a commentary on the music industry. Although at first glance it looks as though Taylor simply miscalculated with this meandering, overproduced, and underwhelming album, she actually did so intentionally to make a point about capitalism, rabid fandom, and its effects on art at large, said Johnson, adding that Swift was smarter than she seemed and would never write 31 songs and record over 2 full hours of music that sounded so flat and uninspired unless she was trying to reveal something deeper about modern culture and the music we consume. Yes, many of the tracks like I Can Do It With a Broken Heart and The Albatross sound like a pale, tired reflection of her former self, but what if that was her goal all along, and she spent years diluting her artistic vision in order to make us think? Taylor is always 10 steps ahead of her fans. Why else would she release one of the worst albums I've ever heard? Johnson also said that Swift would not currently be dating someone as dumb as Travis Kelce if it wasn't a commentary on toxic masculinity. Next, tearful God admits to kidnapping humanity 4,000 years ago to raise as own children. Dateline, The Heavens. Saying he did not expect the species to forgive him, a tearful God, our Lord, and long-supposed Heavenly Father, admitted to reporters Tuesday that he kidnapped human beings 4,000 years ago to raise them as his own children. I'm so sorry. I know I've always said you were created in my image, but that's not quite the way it happened, said God, admitting for the first time that he was not the Almighty Creator, but had abducted Adam and Eve from a now mostly forgotten Mesopotamian divinity who had mixed clay with the blood of gods to bring forth man upon the earth. I tried so hard to create living things that would glorify and serve me, but I never could. And when this other god, ancient Babylonian divinity Marduk, came along and created man and woman, it just didn't seem fair. So, on the sixth day, when no one was looking, I grabbed them and ran. To keep your true origin a secret, I gave you a commandment not to worship false idols, but I'm afraid the false idol was me all along. God went on to say that the fact that he was not the true creator of humanity explained why he had a thick hair, head of flowing hair, while so many among men were bald. Now it's time for Onion Sports. Nobody in the entire Dodgers organization is hard to tell Ohtani what's going on with Interpreter. Dateline Los Angeles. Confessing that they couldn't stand the thought of bursting their teammates' perfect little bubble, sources confirmed Friday that nobody in the Dodgers organization had the heart to tell Shohei Ohtani what was going on with his interpreter. Currently, Shohei has zero clue about the controversy surrounding his close friend and translator, Ippe Mizuhara, and frankly, no one here wants to be the one to tell him, said Dodgers GM Brandon Gomez, adding that despite the media frenzy over the past several days, Ohtani was still blissfully unaware that his colleague had already stolen over $16 million of his money, placed bets with an illegal bookmaker, and was now facing federal charges for bank fraud. At first, it was great because we didn't want Shohei to get distracted by all this and have it hurt his game. But now it's been way too long. We're going to look like total assholes if we tell him that his interpreter betrayed him, got involved in the mafia, and might go to jail for over 30 years. Maybe it's better if he never finds out. At press time, Gomez told reporters that maybe at this point it would be easier if the entire Dodgers organization just collectively pretended like Ohtani's interpreter had died. Now it is time for American Voices. Arrests at pro-Palestinian college protests reach 2,000 nationally. According to a tally by the Associated Press, the number of individuals arrested at college protests held in support of Palestinians in Gaza has surpassed 2,000 across 36 schools. What do you think? Michelle Ray, PR coordinator. That'll do wonders for the student-to-faculty ratio. Isaac Corbett, student. Hopefully, this wrecks the curve enough for me to bump up a grade. Conroy Hofstadter, bus attendant. All this for about 30,000 dead people? And finally today, Japanese town to build screen blocking tourist view of Mount Fuji. Fuji Kawaguchiko, a town in Japan known for its clear view of Mount Fuji, has begun constructing a large black screen to obstruct that view in an effort to ward off tourists, saying that the town has become overrun with people blocking traffic, littering, and trespassing. What do you think, Justin Pettis, not specialist? Guess now I'll never know what Mount Fuji looks like. Kate Butler, scientific photographer. Why not just blow up the mountain? Danny Lomax, systems analyst. As a fan of staring at black screens all day, I couldn't be more thrilled. That concludes another edition of The Onion on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheeland. It's been my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the last half hour. And until next time, be well.